Hey there, welcome back.
Hi folks, what is going on?
How we doing?
I can't answer for everybody else, but I think I'm splendiferous.
I'd say
one of my favorite phrases from one of the favorite people of a lot of people, not just me, Will Ferrell, from Saturday Night Live some years ago, scrumtrulescent.
I never heard that one. I would go with the fine, but not quite dandy, from Uncle George Carlin. Welcome back. We are Mixed Apes. This is...
We are indeed, and this is You Should Know This Song, our podcast.
Of some note. I wrote it down on them somewhere.
We made some notes, and we have a hard time finding them, which is why we drift all over the place. This is our show about music and lyrics and lyric challenges and
all that music kind of stuff
and rock, and I'll stop there.
I would. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We appreciate you being here. We're glad to have you here. We hope we can give you a good time for a little while in only the most respectable and
appropriate way.
Appropriate way.
Yeah.
Thanks for filling that in.
I'm respectful. Respectful. He's appropriate. Let's be clear there.
We're going to get into...
Oh, we got a new one today. We have a new challenge today.
We're going to get into some new material today.
It could be let out a little bit. Sorry. That's a old and bad joke.
I almost didn't catch that one.
I'm sorry for everyone else.
But it was good. I appreciate it. We have a twist.
A twist. Yes, a new segment called Prime Twist and Shout. You should know the lyrics from Dr. Wu.
Prime Twist and Shout. We're going to flip the Prime game. We're going to twist the Prime game around.
Nice catch.
So that instead of
offering a lyric for a given song,
right, we're
going to offer a song and require our opponent, the guy across the table,
right,
to come up with a couple of non-chorus lines. Non-chorus lines. Or the artist at the very least.
Yes.
You got to be able to come up with something.
Some confirmation that you know.
That you actually have an idea what we're talking about.
Right. The song, the artist. Right.
Okay.
Ideally, you're coming up with a lyric from the song. Again, non-chorus, but yes, artist and so forth, that'll suffice. Yes. Because we're trying this, and we're going to see whether it tips over on launch pad or actually makes it into the
stratosphere. So we're going to ask your forgiveness as we stumble through this first occasion. We haven't rehearsed this at all.
You know what? I'm not taking that tack at all. We're going to...
nail this shit.
You can go ahead and... Right? You can go ahead and stand down with the congratulations and, feeling so blessed to be included in this first go.
Okay, I'm still on my side. You can... That's you.
I was trying to spin it to the other side. So we're going to do that. Prime, twist, and shout.
And then we've got Uncontrolled Substance.
Yes.
Really interesting one about cover songs.
Like, she was an exception through the late 60s, I guess, right? 70s, 80s, and still today.
And then I think we're going to wrap up with our world-famous Ask and You Shall Deceive
segment. Ask and You Shall Deceive.
We did have Ask and You Shall Deceive scheduled for this episode, but we've run so long talking about the covers that I think we're going to let that go.
Yeah.
And maybe pick it up next time if that works. Before we get started with all that, because we like nothing better than to bore you with extraneous information, we've had a conversation or two that we had early on about what you should know this song, the phrase itself, really means. Does it mean...
Right.
Well, I mean, does it mean that, like, hey, this is something that you should really know and enjoy because I know the kind of music you like? Or is it more like... Man, if you're a music lover, you gotta know this song.
Right, is it a...
Or is it, man, you should know this.
Right.
All right,
come on, man.
What do we really mean there?
You should know this song.
Okay,
right.
And we had the conversation a couple of times early on when we were going for names, trying to figure out what to call it, right? What that really meant. But we've both been asked, at the very least by my son, independently, and by a couple of other folks, what do we mean when we say you should know this song?
Right.
And the answer is, yes.
Exactly.
All of those things.
Is it a challenge? Are we trying to trip the other person up and then let them know you should have that in your vocabulary?
Right, in your music vocabulary.
Right, or is it a, I really think
you would dig this, right?
And you'll appreciate me reminding you of it.
Oh, there's that one. And then there's the other one, like, hey, man, if you don't know this, here's something that you'll like.
Right.
That's right up your alley.
Right,
right?
So it applies to all the perspectives on you should know this song.
And, like, and we actually did stumble over that before we got started. Believe it or not, there was some thought going into that. So
believe it or not, and we wouldn't blame you if you don't, but it's true. We did do some, you know, vacillating over what the name of the show was going to be and how it applies.
We did vacillate.
So with that said,
you don't use Vaseline to vacillate, by the way.
I don't personally.
I don't know about you.
No, I don't. I don't use Vaseline. I don't actually use Vaseline for anything, but, you know, certainly not vacillating. We could go on with that, but it's probably going to turn awful.
Yeah, we're going to let go there.
It's already awful. It's probably going to turn awfuler.
So with no further adoage,
we're going to jump into our first segment, which is Prime Twist and Shout. So here it comes.
It is the first time we're doing it, so be patient.
Right. So, as we said, Prime Twist and Shout, a little turn on our original Prime game, the core of the show. This is a verbally delivered rather than delivered in text. So,
or visual or how much.
Or visual, right. So, we're going to state these challenges to the other person. The other person has to come up with, as we said, a lyric of the song that is not the chorus. And also, it should be clarified, not the name of the song, because if we're saying the name of the song, then you don't get to say the name of the song back.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
Or if it comes down to it, the artist, something to acknowledge that you know.
That you have some idea what the hell you're talking about.
And we're not, because it's our first attempt at this, we're also going to say, yeah, if you want to help the other person out, give them a little lyric clue. And give them a little more information. I like that.
I'll go one step farther. These are all softballs.
The ones that I've done to get started with this because we haven't done it before. Yeah,
these should all be pretty easy, right?
Should be pretty easy to hit. So
you really should know these.
I'm going to start off.
Go for it, if you're okay with that. What you got?
With a song named "I Got You, Babe." And I'm going to see.
Well, they say our love won't pay the rent. Before it comes, our money's all
there
off.
And I'm not going to bore you with more of that,
but I do know several more lines of the
song.
It's Sonny and Cher.
Pretty soaked into the public awareness there. So,
yeah. 1966, maybe?
Yeah, and that was actually written by Sonny Bono in 1965.
Oh, I was only off by a year.
Yeah, you were only off by a year. Nice. That's my shot. What do you got?
What I got is, "And I Saw Her Standing There."
Well, she was just 17. Do you know what I mean? And the way she looked, should I keep going? Because I think
you know it.
I would like to do a, as old as that song is, like, how many people know every word to that song? Like, what percentage of the American population knows every word?
I think I could probably get I could probably get through 85% of it, I'm going to say. But then again, that's my age. Now, could my kids? I can't tell you if they could or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what I'm wondering. It seems like it's still such a, you know, like even people who are in their 30s probably know that song all the way through.
You really think so?
Seems like to me, because that, you know, it's such
a distinct.
You know,
here's a little homework assignment for you and for me. Yeah. Is over the next day or so, test your theory.
Yeah, ask.
Let's ask.
Ask some people, do you know this song all the way through?
Do you know this song all the way through? Yeah. I'll do that. I got a couple of friends that are in their 40s and 50s across the street. We'll give them a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Saw her standing there, so far we've each gotten it with, again,
arguably a laydown, but...
Yeah, but that's kind of what it's supposed to be, and we're getting right to the thought of the song. And the thought of the song, it rang in my head, and I enjoyed thinking about it.
So that was, obviously, Mr.'s Lennon and McCartney, Macca, as they call him, The Beatles, 1963, from the Please Please Me album.
Okay, I'm going to back you up with Macca.
Yeah.
What I don't know that I've heard that reference.
Really?
Yeah.
I am so surprised at that. That's what they call him, like his friends and his.
Oh, I thought that was some nickname for the combination of Lennon and McCartney.
No, just
McCartney. I get it.
Sorry, thought you knew that.
No, did not know.
Okay, cool.
That.
All right. What do you got?
Okay, here for you is and you should know this song.
You should know this twisted song.
You should know this twisted song.
I think
you should know the lyrics to this song. How about that? That's what we're supposed to be saying.
You should know the lyrics to this song. Let's go there then.
You should know a lyric to this song. Cold as ice. You know
that. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You want paradise. And someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up
nice.
There.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Ferner.
That's
I'm going to say 1975.
Ooh, you are so
off
close.
Off of the Foreigner album.
That's We have another example, and I think it might be the second in mixtapes history of a song that's newer than you thought it was. It's 1977.
Really?
So it's more current than you thought it was, and that is pretty unusual.
See, and that's
that was a good throw.
I could actually like envision when in my life that album became apparent to me. My brother actually turned me on to that album.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd been turned on to it by some of the guys he worked with at the steel mill in South Side of Chicago.
Oh.
Like brought it to him and said, "Hey, have you heard this?" And he, because he was a little, his stuff was a little heavier that he was listening to.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the same guys that also brought him like Jean-Luc Ponty, and
yeah, those guys are great. I like them already.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of guys from the South Side guys that turned him on to that
guys,
stuff.
Guys, those guys. That. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
So anyway,
so that was yes, Foreigner, Cold as Ice, Mick Jones, and on the writing credits, Lou Gramatico.
That may be his
full
his
name,
real, his actual name. Yeah, I mean, Lou Graham was had been around for a while.
As we've discussed before,
these guys had all been in like Spooky Tooth, several different bands.
Right.
They were already really good musicians, well known by.
So that made me want to go. I haven't yet, but it does make me want to go search up Lou Gramatico and just sort
see
of
if there's see something if there's, else that he was maybe not taking credit for.
A cool thread to go back there.
Very cool.
And as we said, 1977. So good call. Good call. It's you. What song lyric should I know?
You should know the lyrics from Dr. Wu.
Oh. Are you really just the shadow of a...
Oh, come on, brother. You got me on a Steely Dan earlier, so...
Oh, I can hear it in my
apparently
head.
Apparently
not. It's coming and going. Of a something I once knew. Are you just an old?
No, that's the chorus,
guy.
Though. You can't use the chorus.
Oh, no, I can't use the chorus. No, I'm not going to come up with.
Really?
It's not coming clear enough.
How about
it is not
five
one
names
of, it,
that I can hardly stand to hear, including yours and mine, and one more Chip who isn't here?
It is not
I can
one
see
of
the
my
ladies walking.
Favorite Steely Dan songs. There are two Steely
really
two it's, Steely it's, Dan songs that irritate me.
It's actually one of my favorite Steely Dan songs.
It is.
It's one of my very favorite Steely Dan
songs.
Yeah.
Wow! Nice. There's something about the melody and the tempo or the tone of the song
really?
That does not.
That's surprising.
Me.
That's see now. Yeah. How we've known each other this long and I'm just finding this out. Yeah. Yeah. I want a divorce.
There's that and now I'm not going to be able to think of the song. It's just a refrain of a few words. Now you got to tell me everything you did, baby.
Oh yeah, that's Turn up the Eagles. The radio. Turn up the Eagles. The neighbors are listening.
Yeah.
Everything you did is named a song.
Everything you did.
Yeah. He comes home and catches her doing something with somebody else.
That can't be the song. There's more words to it. There is a song. I'll think of it later. We don't have to go into it right now.
Oh no, I was thinking that. Sorry. So anyway, Dr. Wu, Becker and Fagan, as usual with Steely Dan.
Oh wait.
What, you want to toss it out? You got something?
I'm gonna say 78.
75.
No.
Katie Lied. Name of the
album. Yeah, Katie Lied. Yes.
And
a good album.
Oh, it's a great album.
Yeah, and I love
that's
title track. A lot of yes, yeah, well, it's Steely Dan. So you
cool.
gush about Steely Dan any more than we have? I bet we spent 10%
of our time.
And in these 10 episodes,
talking about it or avoiding talking about
right,
it.
Right,
the other.
Right. So energy for sure. Okay, my turn. Here I go. You should know some lyrics to this song. What would you say?
What would you say?
Yeah.
Is that's the name of the song?
Yeah, Dave Matthews.
What would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Toss me a lifeline. Throw out that lifeline. What would you say?
This is fun.
Yeah, watch
this
it.
This has got to be super
watch
boring for
it,
people
it,
listening,
this,
but I'm watching you right
stuff
now.
Bird in my
like,
head. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, his hair is going to catch on fire.
Throw out that
just
lifeline is the only thing that can... I mean, I've got the... rhythm running
yeah,
through
my head.
Yeah,
you can hear the song and whatever.
All right, so go ahead and give me a couple lines since I don't appear to appear
up
to
and
know.
Down, checked his hair, fleas and ticks jumped everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of originals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dave Matthews wrote that song. I don't, and it, made me curious. I didn't dig into this either. How many of Dave Matthews' songs Dave Matthews wrote?
I would bet you it's going to be like 90%.
I know he wrote a lot of them, but I never really thought about it, and I don't know
why. Or looking if there was someone else out there that was writing along with him.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to see if he collaborated with somebody with regularity or whatever, and I'm not familiar with that. And it also reminds me of the number of people...
In his band.
But also the number of people I've come across who... And Dave Matthews... I guess because it most recently reminds me, I most recently was digging around. There are some people out there who are like, they have websites that are entirely dedicated to knowing every hair on his body. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Sure. Like everything about him, all his surgical procedures. Like,
I don't think there's anyone that I want, even me. I don't want to know that.
Right. Much there's you know some real fans out there for him. Anyway, so Dave Matthews wrote that in 1994.
Okay.
And the album Under the Table and Dreaming, just fantastic.
Well, that the entirety all of that album was a hit, right? I mean, like,
yeah, like
pretty much every song on that.
Hit the radio,
I know that
yeah.
94 was, my wife and I were married in 95. We had just met in 94 or were just, you know, and that was a huge, like that was what was on the radio.
It was just all over the place.
Yeah. All right. I have one for you that should be pretty easy for you.
Okay.
I know that you had... at least been offered to, if you didn't take up on the offer, singing in a Eagles cover band.
Yeah, we actually practiced a few times.
Right. So the song is Already Gone. You should know some lyrics from this song.
Yeah, well, I heard some people talking just the other day.
Okay.
I know all the lyrics.
Okay, I thought you might.
And they said you were going to put me on a shelf. Pretty good lyrics.
They aren't bad, and they are not written by the Eagles.
Not by Fry or Henley or...
Jack Temchin and Rob Strandland.
Wow, really?
Yes.
I never knew.
And I believe it may have actually been at least being prepared to be done by someone else before the Eagles got it. I'm not saying that
another
someone else did it.
Another little interesting tip. Like,
there
you can just take a thread with all of this
day long.
Go down a
Would you care to give a shot at the year?
I should really know this. I mean, I should really be able to say... within a couple years, my mind is vacillating between the early 80s and the mid 70s, though. So I'm going to say like 77.
74.
74. Mid 70s. I said mid 70s.
No,
but I was vacillating.
You were, yes. On the Border was the.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that was their second. The first one was just Eagles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With the big skull on the front.
Skull on the front. But I think
On the Border was second or third album.
Yeah, I think
I'm
it was, might have been third. On the Border, such a great song, too. Anyway, that album had... which Eagle album didn't have...
A bunch of hits on it? Yeah, none of them.
I mean, ridiculous.
They all had a bunch of hits on them. But when I hear On the Border, actually, my head goes to Al Stewart.
Yeah.
That's the song that comes to mind when someone says
the phrase on the border.
Yes.
I can see that. No, I definitely think of that Eagles song because On the Border is a cool rock song to me. Like,
sure.
That guitar riff break in the middle and whatever. We won't go into that. Okay, so.
You got one for me?
I got it coming next. How about Do You Feel Like We Do? You should know some lyrics to this song.
Oh, yeah. It may take me a minute. I can say Bob Mayo on the keyboards. Bob Mayo on the keyboards. My friend got busted just the other day. Is that what he says?
It's one of them. But one of them woke up
this morning with a wine glass in my hand. Whose wine? What wine? Where the hell did I die?
There you go.
But my was it, I think he says my friend got busted. So
yeah.
They said don't walk away.
Don't walk away.
Must have been a dream. Don't believe where I've been. So
yeah.
I know those. Yeah.
You're there. You got it. Good deal.
So that's going to be Peter Frampton from Frampton Comes Alive is where everybody knows it from.
Right.
But where's
the live album was that everybody knows.
That everybody had.
Everybody had and knows three or four of Frampton's most prominent songs.
At least.
From. Can you name the year?
I can name
actually, this is not right because the information that I got is going to be the year of the song's original release.
Right. So that's going to be 72, 71.
Ooh, 73. Very close.
Okay.
Very close. 73.
Because Frampton Comes Alive was 76.
Right.
And there were a couple of albums worth of hits on
combined,
there.
Right, combined, right, combined material. So that was written by Rick Willis, Peter Frampton, Mick Gallagher, and John Siomos. And again, released in 73. So
not the lineup that was with him on the Frampton Comes Alive album. The entirety of the lineup. Anyway.
Right, right. So interesting. That's
what was the album?
I don't have it.
You didn't capture it? Okay. Not a big deal.
I don't have it.
This one is a really... You're welcome. You should know the lyrics to Tempted.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. The line that pops to mind, I bought a novel, some perfume, a fortune over you, but it's not my conscience that hates to be untrue. Right. Yeah. Of course, that's The Squeeze.
The Squeeze.
And Tempted by the Fruit and...
Tempted. It's just Tempted.
Tempted, right. Is it 80? Oh my gosh, it's not, is it?
Just finish. 80...
83, 82. 81. Yeah.
And it's Tilbrook and Difford, the...
The
prime songwriters.
Songwriting team, yeah, exactly.
The album? I wouldn't have known this album name. And I know you're a huge Squeeze fan, so I'm going to give you the option.
Nope.
Okay, it's East Side Story.
East Side Story, there you go.
Cool.
Didn't have it. Yeah, now that song is ringing in my head. Can we stop for a minute? Let me listen to the rest of it. I'm going to be banging on the table, tapping my toes. I just got to say, not that it should be an exception among what we've been talking about, but I am a Squeeze fan. Go listen to some Squeeze as soon as we're done.
You actually caught me.
Go listen to Tempted. Go listen to Black Coffee and Bed. Go listen to
lyrics from
Pulling Muscles from
Michelle. Pulling Muscles from
Michelle. Oh my gosh.
You caught me with lyrics from, there was something else.
I don't know that Squeeze song. There was something else.
There were two not recent history, but in the last couple of years, where you hit me with and the Pulling Muscles from Michelle one. I never knew those lyrics. Like I know them now.
Yeah, that
it was Nate Marian, that part.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And her Tiptoe Feet. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's such a cool song. The phrasing on the lyrics is really
absolutely
great.
And that's kind of the cool thing about Squeeze.
It's
definitely very poppy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, without question. But I don't mind it from them because the lyrics are just so well crafted. The rhymes, the way it goes
together. The way
they
put it together.
You know,
right,
there's some really interesting.
There's some interesting musical breaks and some they're great. They're all great
phrasing,
musicians, but the phrasing and the timing of some things.
Yeah, and I know really it's not a band that everybody is in love with. You know
no,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But hey, that's too bad for them. So,
okay, what I have for you next is you should know some lyrics to Jane Says.
Jane says, have you seen my wig around? I feel naked without it.
Yeah.
Jane says, there goes Giorgio. right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Jane's Addiction.
It's okay, man.
And what a great band. She
takes a swing, but she can't hit.
But she can't hit, yeah. Yeah.
What a great band. What a great song. Super enjoyable tune.
It's got to be at least 25 years old.
Hey, that is really close. 1990.
Well, they're being inducted.
Actually, that's freaking 35. Sorry.
Yeah, they're being considered for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Right, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
That was written by Dave Navarro, included in the writing of that, Eric Adam Avery, Perry Farrell, and Stephen Perkins. So
Dave Navarro was pretty... around back then, like doing a lot of
stuff.
He
was around, but I didn't realize him having any credit for songwriting. I mean, I've known him as a guitarist of note.
Oh, he was also producing.
Yeah, and producing. I didn't know him to be involved in songwriting. So
well,
I don't know to what extent, but another interesting thing.
1990 what?
1990.
Cool.
So 34 years.
And the album was the Jane's Addiction album.
Yes.
It's called Jane's Addiction.
Yes, the original.
Okay. I got two more for you that I prepared, and they're both easily either way. So we're going to do both of them.
Okay.
We're going to do at least two more. Is that cool?
Yes. Two more would be perfect, actually.
Cool. All right. So you should know some lyrics to Something So Strong.
Oh, back to... I need a second and I shouldn't be taking a second.
I, like, you know, almost
love, love can make you weep, make you run for cover. That runs so deep. So, what does he say? That runs so deep.
Love that runs so deep.
Bring life to frozen ground. Something so strong should carry us away. Yeah. Hard cut. My mind is stuck on the chorus. Just something so strong should carry us away. Just going around and around. I can't get back to the lyrics. I can't get out of the chorus. So, yes.
Crowded House.
I do know that song. Crowded House.
Neil Finn and Mitchell Froom.
Yes.
One of the other band members, but not his brother. Not Neil Finn's brother.
The writers, yes. Yep. Right. Not Finn and Finn.
1987?
Yeah. I think I might have pegged it there. Probably I would have called it older, but that's surprising.
Well, that's actually on the album Crowded House, which I believe is right, their first album.
Right, is the inaugural album. Yeah, cool. Great song. Great band. Great whole thing. But
yeah, I actually, like, I was going to pick something from Crowded House, and I tried to work through these pretty quickly to get stuff. But yeah. Crowded House, I stopped and hung around for a minute. I'm like, I want to hear that one, and I want to hear that one, and I want to hear that one. Which three albums do I want to hear in their entirety?
Now I'm hung up on the... my mind is going, oh, yeah, and related, you know, Six Degrees of Separation or whatever. Split Ends.
Yep.
Squeeze, right? Are we not talking members of Crowded House who were involved in Squeeze?
I don't know that.
There's no relation there? Why is my mind going, oh,
I don't know, but we can find that out. That's an unk sub for down the road.
Yeah.
And we have to work out the mechanics of that 6 degrees thing that we want to do, the connections episode.
Connections, 6 degrees of...
yeah, you know, where...
Six strings of separation.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you've got a name for it, but have you got the structure built?
Not yet. Okay, my go... And I'm going to say Crazy Train. Yeah, you got it. That's it. That's all you have to
that's
do.
That's all I have to do.
Is that technically considered a lyric?
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's got to be.
How considered a lyric?
Well, that's considered a lyric, yeah.
Let's see. Climb On Board. That's also ad-libbed.
All aboard.
Yeah, now I'm stuck.
Starts off with the word crazy.
But that's how it goes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Millions of people living as foes.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Thank you for giving me the gimme, but I'm going off the rails, which of course is the chorus. I can't really sing.
Maybe it's not too late to learn how to love and forget how to hate. I don't know why I know the lyrics to that song really, because I never really got into Ozzy Osbourne.
Neither do I, but those are actually pretty cool lyrics. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, they are.
Because that's your view of the world, right?
True. Yeah.
So
kind of socially conscious. Is that the right phrase?
And it's kind of odd to be talking about Ozzy as. Socially
conscious. Well, and not to short Ozzy, but
right.
You know,
it's just not his. It's not his persona, if
right,
you will.
Right, right. But then that also makes me think back to songs like War Pigs, which was certainly
socially conscious.
Commentary in
absolutely.
That regard, you know what I mean?
So maybe I was just ignorant ignorant about Ozzy because he has this.
Persona, but that's a sad thing, right? Because the first thing that pops to mind is some of the sensationalism about him eating bats and
exactly. But I mean, the thing is, he was writing those songs even back in 1966 and 67 that were saying the world's fucked up and get your shit together.
Right, right. There's some bad people doing some bad shit.
Yeah. So, pardon me, Ozzy. I apologize. And they're going, again, up for induction as a soloist. So.
Ozzy Osbourne wrote the song. 1980 is when it came out. And
wow.
Crazy Train. So, yeah, pretty cool. 1980. Wow.
That's what I said. That's a quote.
Okay, you get one and I get one and then we're
going to wrap up this segment this.
Yes.
All right. So, I'm not going to tell you what album it's from. You should know some lyrics to Skating Away.
Oh, yeah. What a great song. Meanwhile, back in the year one, when you belonged to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son, if your pants were undone. It's kind of probably my favorite part of the song is the start there where the lyrics, each line has a pause after it with that melody in the background and the vocal melody, you know, before the song gets rolling.
Yeah.
I just love it. The guitar, strum, the whole thing.
Cool. So my favorite lyrics from that are did you ever get the feeling that the story is too damn real and in the present tense.
Yeah.
Or that everybody's on the stage and you're the only person sitting
in
the audience.
You hit me with that and the other day, in fact.
Did
and
I?
Tripped me up with that lyric. I guess it's probably been a couple weeks, but my mind couldn't hear the phrasing. I couldn't piece the words out to
and
phrase them right.
And there's a really cool guitar technique, I want to say.
Yeah.
Where it's essentially a single strummed chord, but they cut off the vibration. Like, it's a...
Right.
Kind of sound that I'm not doing it any justice with my way in my mouth.
That did not sound like that.
No, it but you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of in between the phrases of that particular part. And there's the whole bit about the rabbit running away and all of that.
Yeah.
Some really, as is almost always the case with Ian Anderson, some really great lyrics.
Really, really great. He was such a great writer.
Yep, yep. So, 19...
He's not dead, right?
He's not as far as I know.
Yeah, yeah. He is such a great writer.
19.
Oh, wow. Oh. Was that in the early 70s?
Right in the middle.
Really?
1975. War Child.
Yeah, I had it at like 1980 in my head. Yeah, yeah, right there.
Remember, just add 5 years to all of your guesses at a minimum. Exactly. That's pretty much what we figured out,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. 5 to 10 years and you're probably closer.
Behind what you think it is.
Right. Further back.
All right, so you have one more before we end the segment.
And that was Ian Anderson.
Yes, it was.
I have one more. This is probably going to give up the little bit I've been doing when I roll this one out because you've kind of touched on it a couple of times already. But give me some, you should know some lyrics to Smooth Operator.
Oh, so this was all about the people that are being considered
Of my clues have been
relative to the
inductee nominees for the
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Cool.
That's I did not catch that. Yeah. Although this
you
gave
did
it away.
Touch on it a couple.
Right,
you touch
right.
On the
yeah,
fact that
yeah.
Two of the artists.
So Smooth Operator, Diamond Life, Lover Boy moves in space with minimum waste, maximum joy,
etc. Right.
Something something business flights. Well, not welfare nights. That's
City
not
City Lights.
City Lights.
Flights. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sade.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Again, another inductee, all of them. So I'm just going to take 1 second to, not to humor myself, but to cover what I just did for anybody else you might not have picked up. Sonny and Cher, Foreigner, Dave Matthews, Peter Frampton, Jane's Addiction, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, Sade. There are others, but those are the ones that I got to in this segment who are included in the list of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm
going to
correct
these.
You because it's not Sonny and Cher.
Oh, it's only Cher. You're right.
It's
you're
only
right.
Cher.
The song was by Sonny and Cher.
Yes, yes.
But, so. Yes. You
what
are
year
correct.
Was that?
Just
19,
Cher.
I'm going to say 80 or 81. Is that correct?
For what?
Sade.
Sade, 84.
Okay.
And written by Helen Adu and Ray St. John. So,
that's
my...
Helen Adu is Sade.
See? There you go. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So written by her herself in her real name, I assume.
I think I could easily be mistaken about this, but I believe Sade is what, like, the endearment that her family calls her, if I'm not mistaken. This is going to be a correction in a future episode, but I'm almost certain that's the case.
Leave it there. It'll be a good correction and a reason to talk more about it.
All right, so that was our first shot at...
Prime Twist and Shout.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I think it went okay.
I
had some fun with it.
I did. I did, too. I think we need to step it up next time, maybe make them a little less easy, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
At least
I think,
sprinkle in a couple to make it a little bit more challenging, because, you know.
We had a couple of difficult ones. There were two, at least, that I didn't get, you know, that I certainly stumbled on. But again, the point was to get to the songs.
Right. Yeah.
So the people out there could be enjoying
I think that worked. I think we can build that into a...
That should be a real recurring piece,
yeah,
I think.
Cool.
I like it.
All right. I had fun with that. So let's. What else we got on the agenda?
We were going to move along to...
Uncontrolled Substance and Ask.
Ask and Ye Shall Deceive after that. So yeah, Uncontrolled Substance next.
Right. And that's the covers version.
Right. We're going to talk about cover songs.
All right.
So let's get right on into that when you're ready. You ready?
Sure.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to, as we said, to Uncontrolled Substance. And this is the...
This one is all about cover songs.
Cover songs
edition. We've talked a bit about...
Cover edition.
About... You can't help yourself, can you?
I can't.
It's built right in. We've talked a bit about this cover and that cover in different episodes. We've even gone a little bit more in depth than just to mention a specific cover.
Particular covers that we feel are, like, you know, some of the best done, and other.
And here's the thing, in your
covers of note,
your estimation from what you told me is, it has to be something where the cover artist is making it their own. Who is the? Do you remember the one that you said, like, they pulled it off perfectly, but it wasn't great because they just pulled it off perfectly?
Yeah. The thing that blocks me from remembering what you're talking about, but is the same thing, is a more recent iteration of that I heard on the radio the other day, and it's a country artist named Luke Combs doing a cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car.
Right.
And his version of it, even though it's a guy singing and whatever, it's very, very much in the same footprints
of what she did,
of her song, right? And I am a Tracy Chapman, you know, fan. Worshiper.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting for a minute that Luke Combs was doing any disservice to her. And I have said, in fact, in past, that maybe those people doing sort of an exact replica are actually trying to say this was so good, nobody should mess with it.
Right.
But what I'm attracted to hearing, so doesn't mean crap on a stick,
right,
is somebody who thinks something creative, who wants to make it sort of their own signature on it.
Right.
So
absolutely. So,
and to another side note on that, Tracy Chapman thought enough of Luke Combs' version that she went to the Grammys and did a duet with him of her own song at the Grammys. So how can I talk? You know, it's just an example of what occurs to me. So it's not making a statement on the artist or their talent or any of that.
So
anyway,
originally this was going to be, here are my top half a dozen covers, my personal favorites, right? And I've got those with me and we can go into those. But last night, prepping for the episode and giving myself an excuse to sit and watch videos, I reached out to about a dozen family and friends via text.
Yes, right.
And
you
said,
"Tell me about this."
Hey, I'm recording the podcast tomorrow. We're going to talk about covers. What are your favorites? Okay. And I got 3/4 of those people
you
responded.
Got deluged.
I got 3/4 of those people responded with more than one.
Okay? Right.
And I'm not in any way complaining. I was very glad to have the feedback.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I was looking for. So, would you care to guess what the singular
the
singular favorite was amongst, now if we're talking about people from 30 to 60, white, black, wealthy, moderate income,
the most nominated in your
among my little group of people, okay, family and friends, coworkers.
I gotta jump to the one that always comes to mind for us, because what else would I jump to? And I have to ask if it's one of them done by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No.
Huh. I'm out there then.
Johnny Cash doing Hurt.
Oh, really?
It was the hands down, far and away.
Well, yeah,
the most people
deserving.
And apparently, I even saw a thing where Trent Reznor had posted on, not my song anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. He completely bowed to,
yeah,
and rightfully so. I mean, you know, whatever happened there, no one denies that Johnny Cash just put his soul inside that thing.
So that was, like I said, far and away.
Really?
The absolute, amongst everyone.
The only reason I'm surprised is because even though, I mean, it's Johnny Cash and it's Nine Inch Nails and Trent Reznor, you know, well known, it was still I didn't know of it to be still really well known.
Oh, dude, you're absolutely wrong. No, it is.
Yeah.
And I've done a little digging, and there's nobody that can say this cover is the ultimate cover.
Right.
There's
right.
no way to judge that, but it's by far the single most quoted, and not just by my friends.
Yeah.
So to cover the technical parts here, originally by Trent Reznor, the band was Nine Inch Nails, written by Trent Reznor. Downward Spiral was the album. 1994 was the year. I've captured, in this case, the same information on the covering artist. Okay. So 2002 was the year. The album was American 4, meaning Roman numeral 4. So it's mm-hmm. American 4, The Man Comes Around.
Okay.
It was the last album that he did.
Mm-hmm.
The single for Hurt, the B-side. Now, this is Johnny Cash's version.
Right.
Any guesses? Any?
I didn't know there was a single, and I didn't know it had a B-side. I have no idea.
Okay. Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode.
Like, yay!
Here's the thing. The fact that Johnny Cash, and again, he does a phenomenal rendition.
Absolutely.
But the fact that in 2002, when he's in his, I'm going to guess, late 70s, early 80s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is familiar with Trent Reznor's work enough to want to cover the song.
Or even if, supposing he wasn't and someone approached him and said
him being open enough to go to him, it
right
okay
right
him, but the fact that it the B-side is Depeche Mode
is equally as
it's amazing to
you
me
you know I'm gonna use the phrase I'm gonna, you know new material and
yes
that twist on things I
absolutely
mean, come on that is fantastic
and again I mean you know that Trent Reznor that was 1994
right
okay and Johnny Cash did it in 2002. Again, he was already well into his 70s.
Right.
So
right.
I'm gonna kind of step, as we've
thing,
spoken. Go
the
ahead.
Thing about that, as much as anything, that is appreciable, it doesn't diminish, in my mind, it doesn't diminish the quality of Johnny Cash's performance.
Oh, absolutely not.
But it adds to how much, the juxtaposition of the whole thing adds to how much it just smacks you in the head. Like the whole, I still listen to that, and the whole time he's doing it, my brain is going, this is happening, man.
Yeah,
this is really a thing.
And
right
I think the thing is that I would want to add to that is, if Johnny Cash is not in your, what a bad motherfucker list, you're
right.
an idiot.
right.
Seriously, okay?
There you go.
I mean,
there you go with an example of things taking, that have to be in the rock and roll umbrella.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And Johnny Cash
yeah.
did plenty of, obviously, roots are in country music, but
well, I mean,
rockabilly
rockabilly,
right off the bat,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
rock blues country right off the bat.
Sure.
I mean, there,
this is a conversation that you and I had earlier
yeah.
to clarify about what is rock and roll
what
relative to
the
Hall of Fame,
umbrella,
right?
Right.
Yeah. So, at any rate, my...
Or Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, see, don't do that. She's in here.
Oh, okay.
She's in the list.
Okay.
That's another one of the near the top is Angel from Montgomery from John
man,
Prine.
What a cover.
Yes, exceptional.
What a
I
cover.
Think I have, do I have the information captured on that one here? I don't know if I do.
I mean, that will, if you haven't listened to Bonnie.
Angel from Montgomery, originally John Prine, written by John Prine
John
on
Prine.
The album John Prine,
John Prine.
1971, and then covered by Bonnie Raitt in 74 on her album Streetlights.
If the song doesn't move you as John Prine song,
it definitely should as
it
Bonnie Raitt.
Will
and if it doesn't move
you
at all,
song.
Jack, you dead.
right. Right. Check your pulse.
Among other people, my ex happened to hit me back with that one. Actually, this morning, she's like, hey, if you're still looking, here's my vote, right? Thank you, Diane. I appreciate that for reaching out.
Yeah. No,
my friend Matt, guitar player here of some note in the St. Louis area. He's in a couple of different bands. We go to see him all the time. He had several. Hey Baby, in parentheses, New Rising Sun by Temple of the Dog. Baker Street by Foo Fighters. I didn't know they did a cover. I need to listen to that. I'm sure they did. Dr. Dave. Everything he does is great. No Quarter by Tool. I don't know that one.
I don't know that.
I'm
interested to hear it though because I like me some Tool.
He gave me Crossroads by Cream, and I'm only disqualifying that because we had pretty much agreed, you and I, that no blues standards were allowed because they've been covered by so many different
people.
But so much of rock and roll comes from there that I can't really disallow
it. Yeah, I got to back up on that. My mind got really distracted by the Tool No Quarter. Is that
I don't know. I don't know what it's covered from.
Nils Lofgren. No Quarter.
Could be that,
I gotta look that
up.
You go.
Okay, cool.
I'm gonna be.
And then
it
he
up.
Also gave me Little Wing by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I was just thinking of that the other day.
However, he did come back and say, "Wait, I think my favorite might just be Dust My Broom by Elmore James," which he considers the first rock and roll song, blowing out. He said, "Not rock." He didn't say not. He used a different word. Not Rocket 88. That's like smooth jazz compared to Elmore James's Dust My Broom. So that's my buddy Matt. And again, I've got plenty more here. My friend across the street, Chris, she had Hurt as one of hers, but she had Ghost doing Jesus Knows Me from Genesis. And I didn't realize that I knew either song, and I know the Genesis version.
I'm really trying to think of Ghost.
I didn't, and it's pretty dark. I mean, this not the band, this song to begin with, and the cover is even darker.
Yeah, yeah.
That was another one that got a couple of votes. And she also had Hurt, as I said. And again, thank you, Chris. I got Chili Peppers, Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that both Chili Peppers, I don't know that every song was a cover, but that most of us on one album was a cover. And I also didn't realize that...
What hits?
That Metallica had an album that was all covers. And apparently...
I had no idea.
It was two sides that... Well, like most albums are, I would imagine. And one side was covers they'd already done.
Now, also, to clarify, you're talking about an actual pressed vinyl album with sides.
Yes. And the other side was... It might have been... See here, I'm not sure if it was two albums or two sides. And the other one was all new covers from them.
Really?
And... That's so one cool. of the other covers that came up that was them.
I would like to go look at the list and see what covers they did, because there could be.
They did a bunch.
Yeah. Especially if they got outside the genre, I'd really be.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I've got some killer ones here for you.
By the way, to go back to my interruption earlier, the Tool No Quarter is Led Zeppelin's No Quarter.
Okay.
They covered Led Zeppelin's No Quarter.
So 311 does a version of Love Song by The Cure.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that video last night. That's damned good.
Really good version of that.
Here's one from my son Paul. Metallica's version of Turn the Page is better than Bob Seger's.
No.
I knew you would say that, and I might have to disagree with you there.
Yeah.
And he had Nine Inch Nails there.
That's interesting, because those are the kind of things that...
Start fights?
No, well, they don't start fights, but they're good. You know, that my reaction to that is...
You're a Bob Seger. You're a big Bob Seger fan.
I was a Bob Seger fan, but also, I don't think I'm above, you know, if listening with a
new ear?
Objective ear, but how can I... It's because it's art, it's subjective, so I can't say, I think because
and I did watch the video for Turn the Page for Metallica's version.
Yeah.
I'm betting money it was never on MTV. It's extremely dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very dark.
Yeah.
And it kind of lent to the immensity of the feeling of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Sound of Silence by Disturbed was also a popular one. Here's one I didn't even think about.
Which I appreciate, but I don't enjoy. But... whatever it's worth.
Sure. I hadn't thought about this being a cover. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
It's a cover of a Dolly Parton song. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, I knew that. I'm not crazy about it, but it is a good cover. I mean, she.
Oh, yeah.
Whitney Houston's voice, what are you going to do?
Right. Smooth Criminal,
Alien Ant Farm.
I hadn't seen or heard that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's real good.
Lit, I think, was what I was calling it last night. That's my friend Kathy on those.
Props to her. That's absolutely. That's a great call.
And then my youngest son, he had, and he's one that's contributed to us. He was one of the ones that asked us about the origin of the show name.
Bless his heart, he's been following the show.
He has, and he's always got great input.
He's not embarrassed.
And he's not afraid to say we're wrong either one of us. He likes taking that to both of us. And we appreciate that. Absolutely. He had Cake doing Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash again covering Trent Reznor. Melvin's covering Kiss, Going Blind. And when I heard that, I was with my friend Wayne, who was a Kiss fan.
When you heard the song?
No, when I got the text.
When you got the text, yeah, yeah.
And we sat and watched it, and we both agreed that by far, Melvin's was better than Kiss.
Yeah.
And again, he's a Kiss fan.
Yeah.
And my son went on to say that there was an album that they did it was all covers, including Melvin's, that was covered Queen, David Bowie, Roxy Music, The Kinks. So you and I need to go and find that album and listen to that.
No kidding. Recently, Weezer did a similar album of all covers.
All covers.
Yeah.
You need to keep me apprised of that stuff, because I need to. Yeah.
I say recently, within the last couple of years, but still, you know.
Well, that's recently for me.
Yeah.
Another favorite, my wife's personal favorite, and then a couple of other people, was Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix.
Covering
Bob Dylan.
Covering Bob Dylan. I know I'm running long here. I'm sorry.
Green
Man Ouija, as we've talked about before, was another favorite. My daughter, my oldest daughter.
So much stuff to think about. I'm just dying.
Faith by Limp Bizkit.
I haven't heard that. Is that George Michael's Faith?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think I've heard that.
And then Tainted Love by Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it made me watch another Marilyn Manson, Sweet Dreams. And if you want to get creeped out, watch Marilyn Manson's Sweet Dreams. It's very scary.
I get the Marilyn Manson thing. I'm not a big fan, but the mention of Tainted Love reminds me of the Tainted Love dance version from the 80s I can't think of the name of the band now, but that's what's
running in my head.
Would have
been 90s, not 80s. 80s would have been the original song. The dance version would have been early 90s.
Tainted Love?
Yeah. Soft Cell was the original
band. Soft Cell.
And then another one from my daughter, not a favorite, but it took me by surprise, Goodbye Earl from the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
Done by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
No familiarity.
And she's a fan. She's not really a big country fan, but she's like, it was a song she grew up with, so it kind of hit a note with her. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right. I'm backing you up here because...
Go ahead.
Tainted Love is originally... a song composed by Ed Cobb, formerly of the American group The Four Preps, in 1964, recorded by Gloria Jones.
Uh-huh.
Soft Cell did not was not the original.
I didn't think they
but
were.
But in the... When
I said it was covered, you're right. I did say that a song was covering a Soft Cell, that someone was covering a Soft Cell song. But that's,
right.
That was my...
Familiarity with the song. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Just a couple more here. Metallica doing Turn the Page. There's another one.
Another person saying that.
So at any rate, I personally have more covers that I could go through, but I probably spent enough time just talking about what people contributed,
which is great.
So a couple of things there. One, thank you to all those people who I named and those I didn't.
Super appreciation for that.
That's great. I truly appreciate the input. It gave us 20 minutes of really cool shit to talk about.
And, you know, part of the reason that I think, not to get too far off here, but any podcast that is really looking for interaction and
to engage, to have a sort of a
conversation with listeners, the best thing you can get, because it takes you out of your box, out of your perspective.
Right, exactly.
We wouldn't have thought of 30% of those songs.
Oh, at most.
Ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I would have come up with her.
Right. Getting that feedback is just
an angel from Montgomery.
It's a thrill for us. You know what I mean? It's a thrill.
And, you know, the thing is, this happened via text because I reached out to people via text. But
right.
Here's one more time that I'm asking, guys, whoever's out there listening, man.
Absolutely.
We don't know what you're thinking if you don't tell us.
Right, right.
Please. If there's anything that you want to say, like, hey, you guys are idiots, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, this wrong, or you missed this, or why didn't... My brother-in-law, Jim, the very first episode was like, we were talking about live albums, and he was like, you guys are wrong, nobody mentioned Woodstock, that's the ultimate live album. Give me more of that, please.
We have said, but and we can't emphasize enough, you know, even if it's... an episode that you've listened to that we did, you know, weeks ago.
Right.
But one of the games on there, you know, was really enjoyable for you. We're probably almost certainly going to do that game again. If you got a suggestion for the game, for whatever segment, for whatever artist, you know.
Or a suggestion for a game, for that matter. Maybe we're smart enough to pull it off. Who knows? But
absolutely. Right, right. Get to your podcast format, send it to us in the comments, make sure we get it, and, you know, we can get on top of it.
It's the greatest. Stepping away from reaching out to y'all to reach back to us, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's a blast.
Literally, I sent the text to 10 or 12 people, and I sat back and I cracked a beer, and then ding, 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 ding. And I sat last night and watched the videos to all the ones I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
So I spent 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Right.
Just like, oh, I didn't know about this.
What a great exercise.
Oh, wow, this is cool. Oh, look at that.
And what's better than going to do technical research so enjoyably, directed by, you know, other people's
family and friends. Exactly.
Family and friends.
It was a blast.
That's great.
So,
that is great.
At any rate, that's going to be the...
And I loved that.
And there was that at any rate again. I
there it is,
that.
At any rate.
Okay, so.
At every rate, you get the opportunity to.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
Instead of any rate, I'll just say anyway, really slowly and deliberately. I believe that's going to take us
no,
to.
No, let's go back to it. Anyway,
I'm going to stop talking now and let you talk because I just realized I've been talking for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I should. Well, it was, you know, quality. And I'm not exaggerating. That was really quality and stuff. Like, I enjoyed that because. You know, all the reasons. I don't have to go into it and spin off into another thing.
Thank you for your patience, though. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, you know, thanks for your indulgence out there. I am going to talk about only one artist. You know, thinking about the various ways I could have gone about this assignment, as it were, to do a piece on cover songs. One thing kept coming back to me, and that was Linda Ronstadt.
Okay.
And the reason it was Linda Ronstadt is because as I was thinking through a lot of cover songs, you know, maybe not as current or in the vein of a lot of the songs that were just mentioned by a lot of the people you hit, but a couple of her cover songs still resonate with me from, and they're not new, they're 80s, they're 70s.
But I think if I can jump in really quickly, they weren't hits before she did them.
Well, some weren't, some were, but they weren't
as
almost
big as
with
she took.
Without exception, they weren't as big a hits as she made them, which is part of the reason that I started kind of going down the road. And it's really kind of remarkable. I can't find evidence, although when I think about it, especially in the 40s, you know, Sinatra, that kind of thing, a lot of those guys were only doing kind of covers, but
standards,
but they were doing plenty of songs that were written for them.
Right.
They didn't write their own songs, right? But they weren't necessarily doing so many songs that were already known songs.
Right.
And
there were songwriters that were working for them.
Right. And even if that's a consideration, what she managed to do during her career, the popular parts of her career, which spanned a pretty long period of time.
2.5 decades, I'd say.
Was to do almost exclusively cover music. Cover songs that were already known songs performed by somebody else.
Right.
And
turn them into her own.
And make them her own. Like,
absolutely.
Own them and make them the thing that rings in your head.
Right. You don't hear the original. I mean, I don't hear Warren Zevon when somebody does...
It's so easy.
Me.
Right. But no, that's It's So Easy's Buddy Holly, you're right. Yeah, Poor Pitiful Me, you're right. So I did a little research, but it turns out there's, you know, it's you could spend a week digging into the ways that this can be looked at. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to sort of chip down a list of the top 12 or so that are probably either memorable or ranked, right?
Okay.
And just let everybody's sort of head spin about it. But then there's a couple of factoids here. So with the song You're No Good,
yep.
Which written by Clint Ballard, previously a hit, right? Previously done by somebody else. She got a number one out of that on the top 100 charts in the U.S. When Will I Be Loved by the Everly Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
She took that to number two. Blue Bayou by Roy Orbison.
Yes.
She took that to number three. This is all top 100 charts in the U.S. I mean.
Right. Top 100.
Smash songs, right?
Right.
I mean, she made them into huge hits. That'll Be the Day, Buddy Holly, number five. It's So Easy, Buddy Holly, number five. Heat Wave, previously done by Martha and the Vandellas, written by Holland Dozier and Holland, number five. Ooh Baby Baby by Smokey and the Miracles, number seven. You Know It Hurts So Bad, written by Randazzo, Weinstein, and Hart, number eight. I didn't take note of who previously hit with that. It was done by other people. The Tracks of My Tears, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Oh, yeah.
She took to 25. Long, Long Time, written by Gary White. She took to 25. Poor Pitiful Me by Warren Zevon, 31. Tumbling Dice by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
She took to 32.
Right. And where did that ever get on the Stones for the Stones? On the chart?
Right.
I'd be interested to know.
I did. Yeah, it would be good to know. I love the song. I love both versions of the song. And she made her own. She made it her own thing. And then things. And that list goes on. She did 287 noted cover songs.
No shit.
Real.
287 cover songs.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That is a huge catalog. Well, it's
here's
amazing.
The thing, like, I would bet you, I couldn't have told you, I personally couldn't have told you,
right,
that she made her career doing cover songs.
Right.
Because she made them all her own. Right. Right?
That's what I'm saying. You think about a lot of the songs I just named and a lot of other songs.
Yeah.
And you think of her first.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And to say, for me, to say that I think of her before I think of Roy Orbison, Smokey and the Miracles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Warren Zevon?
Yeah. And you're a huge Warren Zevon fan. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's great.
I thank you for sharing that, because I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess I knew, because I was able to say, oh, yeah, that's a cover. But, like, I never did the math.
Right. You know? Right. And I hadn't either, but I was like, man, when I started letting it swim around in my head, my head was filled with Linda Ronstadt songs that I recognized as hers that I knew were
287
covers. 287 cover songs.
Jesus.
And, take it up another level here, I'll try to do this in order of, to the pinnacle point. She headlined tours on cover songs.
Yeah.
For years, which is another remarkable statistic and accomplishment for her. You can, you know, there are people, you know, because she was so-and-so's girlfriend, because she was it's undeniable. You can't diminish that accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. Anybody who's saying that's an idiot.
Yeah, just an idiot. You know what I mean? I was scrolling through websites and seeing some of that. Well, of course, because she was hot and this and that. You're not with that voice because you're hot. You don't accomplish 11 Grammys. She got 11 Grammys on cover songs on people's.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable.
I read a quote actually recently about somebody saying that, like, you couldn't ask for a better set of pipes, I think was the exact quote.
Yeah. I mean, her voice, listen to some of her live performances.
Oh, absolutely.
Her voice is amazing. Worked with Jackson, not worked with as in recorded with, although that's true too, but toured with and headlined sometimes for Jackson Brown, the Eagles, Little Feat, the Neville Brothers, Dan Fogelberg. The list just goes on and on. I mean, she was huge. And she worked with Emmylou Harris, Dolly Parton, Aaron Neville, Carla Bonoff, James Ingram. I mean,
the list is huge.
Just huge. So, an amazing example of, and I think as far as I could find, and I guess maybe I'm inviting anybody out there.
Tell me you're wrong.
The more I looked into it, the more I was like, she was an exception through this late 60s, I guess, right? 70s, 80s, and still today. Who else has done something like that in a career? Is there anybody else?
I mean, top of mind, I'm going to say no.
In any musical genre, maybe in like jazz, you know, doing so many standards.
Or blues,
where people do
it's traditional that they do other people's songs.
And somebody remarkable, you know, like I think possibly Stevie Ray Vaughan could have pulled that off if he did all covers.
Right.
Of blues standards, because he was amazing at turning them into his own thing,
yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But who else did that in their career as a cover artist? Like, she reached the zenith with all
and
that
stuff.
And I know
she's a member of the Hispanic Musicians Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she has several
Hispanic. And I'm not sure about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, although if she's not, then
shame on
stupid.
Them. Shame on them. I think I would need to look that up, but I think she's in there. I do want to, before I end here, give credit to a couple websites. Secondhandsongs.com helped me out a bit. Song Facts, some sites like that, but Wikipedia was again immensely helpful.
Oh, now don't be self-conscious now. By the way, I'm going to jump in 2014. She was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wikipedia was immensely helpful. Go donate to Wikipedia, folks. And there was a website that I haven't utilized to a inch, just to even a micron of its potential. That is amazing. If you're interested in cover song facts, data, numbers, rankings, that kind of thing, it's mostlymusiccovers.com. This guy apparently updates it a couple times a year, and he digs in. I mean, there is so much information on this site and so many links. about whose songs have been covered, who are the top, who covered them, which covers did well. I mean, he just does the full scope that nobody else needs to do any work. This guy's just done it all. So, again, shout out to him. I got some information off that site as well, and I will be going back to utilize that site. So that's my part of the segment.
I'm sorry for waiting, making everyone wait, because that was
the Linda
amazing,
Ronstadt.
Dude.
I just loved it.
The first place that I know of Linda Ronstadt from was the Stone Ponies.
Sure.
Different Drum was the song that they hit.
Yeah.
And that was Glenn Frey and one other member of the Eagles, maybe Henley, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. But I know that it was Glenn Frey was in there.
Right.
Apparently, when she went into the Hall of Fame in 2014, what Glenn Frey said was, Linda lives in a place where art trumps commerce, where self-exploration trumps self-exploitation, and where hard work and integrity trump fame and failure. She never wanted to be a star. She just wanted to make good music.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better, more eloquent way to say...
Right.
What you
right
to sum up what all of what you just said.
Right. She just had, you know, she had herself in the whole thing, and it shows in the quality of the music that she produced, even if it was music that was already done by someone else.
Absolutely.
I think anybody can relate to hearing a song and thinking, I love that song so much. I want to
honor it.
Shout it out. I want to honor it. I want to sing it. You know
and
what
then
I mean?
To be able to have the...
I want to express what I feel when I hear that song.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And to have the physical wherewithal, the ability,
the pipes,
to be able to do it.
And make
there's
that
no doubt
happen.
That she was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. That's cool. That's my piece on the...
The covers.
Yeah. Uncontrolled Substance covers.
And I've still got a bunch of stuff for this. So we're going to revisit covers.
Oh, yeah. There's
and
so
hopefully
much cool
we can find
there.
Something... along the lines of what you found that just is makes one person stand so far above the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to be the end of this segment.
Yes.
We did have Ask and You Shall Deceive scheduled for this episode, but we've run so long talking about the covers that I think we're going to let that go.
Yeah.
And maybe pick it up next time if that works for you, Reed.
Yeah, we're being a little careful, I guess, about how long we go, and we've been pushing an hour with a couple of the episodes. We don't want to overstay our welcome, and any feedback you guys have about that too, to hit on this again, maybe there's no reason for us to be concerned that we do an hour and a half episode if it's enjoyable. But
and I just want to point out that we're running over an hour and a half talking about running over an hour
running
and a half.
Over an hour and a half. I love it. It's like we're in a loop, a time loop or something.
All right. So anyway,
so been great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging in there. Commentary, all that stuff.
Yeah, this was a really good one. I had a lot of fun here.
Very
really
enjoyable.
And mostly it was about input from other folks.
Right.
Was,
so. Yeah, that really, really made it good. Please, if you like the show, like it. Please
share it.
Let other people
it.
Know. Yeah,
and hey, listen, if you're so inclined to comment, get on your podcast platform and comment.
Yeah.
We're looking for the input.
And let us know what your podcast platform is. If we're not on there, we'll get on there.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
We're out.
See you next time.